I invite you to turn with me now to our passage this evening, Exodus chapter 19. And we'll be looking at the whole of the chapter. It's a little lengthier reading, but it all fits together nicely as one unit here, the account of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai, and God declaring he's going to come down and what they must do to prepare for that. So we'll be reading verses 1 through 25. And if you are able, if you'd like to, you can stand. But again, it is a lengthier reading. And as we're looking at this, as you're turning there to chapter 19, we're going to see that Moses is called to go up the mountain, down the mountain, up the mountain, down the mountain, up the mountain, down at least three times, up and down the mountain. And I wonder if he got tired. You know, he's no spring chicken. And you see him being called up the mountain and then sent back down immediately and called back up. And you start to wonder about these things. But let's give attention to this passage. First we'll pray, and then we'll read chapter 19. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this book. We thank you for your word, that it is truth, that it is powerful and active, that it's not a dead letter, but it is a living word, and the Spirit is active, piercing to the very souls, Lord. And we pray that you would do that powerful work in our hearts and our lives now through the reading and preaching of your word. Help us to be attentive at this evening hour on a Lord's Day, that we would understand these things and that your grace would be at work in our lives. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, you may stand, but if not, that's fine as well, as this is a much lengthier reading, and I'll begin at verse 1 of chapter 19. This is God's word. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain.'" So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives." Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in their camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." But Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it.'" Then the Lord said to him, "Away, Get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. This ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Well, we don't really know. We're not told anyway if Moses grew weary or tired here in Exodus 19. But we do know that he was very active in going up the mountain and down the mountain and up the mountain and down the mountain. Active going between God and man, and man and God. Moses is clearly being set forth before us as a mediator. Now, kids, you remember what a mediator is? Someone who stands between two groups of people or two people and serves to bring those groups or those people together, to communicate between them. And Moses is serving here as a mediator, a go-between, someone who stands between the holy God and a sinful people. And as we'll see in the chapters ahead, Moses is the mediator of the old covenant, the mediator of the giving of the law. And it reminds us as we come to Exodus 19 that we're coming to a new section in this book of Exodus. The first half of the book, chapters 1 through 18, sets before us Moses, really as the mediator of the old covenant. We've seen him in his birth, his life, his preparation for ministry, his calling to the ministry, and we read about him carrying out that ministry in his word and deed through the plagues sent upon the Egyptians, in the Exodus itself, of course, and through those 3 months in the wilderness, and that has brought them all the way now to Mount Sinai. So the first half of the book of Exodus presents Moses as the mediator and his person and work in that regard. But now as we come to the second half of the book of Exodus, chapters 19 through 40, the focus will not be so much on Moses as mediator, but the focus will be much more on the covenant. That covenant that's ratified here at this place at Mount Sinai. In fact, the rest of this book of Exodus will take place at Mount Sinai. So the focus moves from the covenant mediator to the covenant itself, and especially with a focus upon the place where that covenant is ratified, Sinai, Mount Sinai. And so that's the way chapter 19 opens. We read that it is now 3 months since the children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt out of the house of bondage. He's brought them all the way to this place, to Mount Sinai. Certainly it's familiar territory to Moses. Remember that Moses had been years before shepherding here, watching over his father-in-law's sheep, shepherding in this very area. He had been on this mountain before. And when he came to that mountain, he saw that burning bush. And you remember as God met him there and gave him his name, that God had promised to Moses to bring him back to this very place, along with the children of Israel, to serve him on this mountain. And so as the children of Israel are led then by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire and brought these 3 months, they are brought back to this very mountain of God, to Sinai. And I think that as Moses is walking this familiar territory where he had once shepherded sheep, and now he is shepherding people, he was probably eager to serve God here, eager to meet with God again. Verses 3 to 6, God had kept his word, God had kept his promise. Here Moses was no longer a shepherd of sheep, but a shepherd of God's people. And he's eager to go up that mountain and serve God as God had said he would. And so, up the mountain he goes, and the Lord speaks to him from the mountain, reminds Moses of who he is. He's the God who has brought judgment upon the Egyptians, verse 4. But also, the merciful God who has carried the children of Israel on eagle's wings and brought them to himself. It's a beautiful picture of redemption and salvation. When a mother eagle pushes her eaglets out of the nest to learn to fly, if they're not flying on their own, if they're falling, she catches them on her wings and brings them back up to the nest to safety. And this is the picture here. This is what God has done for his people. He bears them. He carries them up on eagle's wings, brings them to himself. And he says, this is who I am to you. And now in verses 5 to 6, this is who you are to be to me. You're to obey my voice. You're to keep my covenant. And if you do, if you obey my voice, if you keep my covenant, if you heed my laws, if you follow my ways, if you keep my commandments, you will be to me a special people, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And this is why God has brought them to this mountain. But God has brought them to this place to give them his law and to constitute them as his people, to enter into this covenant with them, to be their God, and for them to be his people. Now, this is the word God gives to Moses in verses 4 to 6. And then in verse 7 and following, we find Moses now going down the mountain. And he gathers the elders of Israel before him, and he lays all of God's word before them. What God has told them, he tells to them, and the people respond to God's word with this commitment. We will do all that God commands us. We will enter into this covenant with God. We will keep his law. We will keep his commandments. We will heed his voice. We will listen to his word. So with the people having responded, Moses goes back up the mountain again, verses 8 through 9, to bring the word of the people now to God. And the Lord says that he will draw near to them in verse 9. Behold, I will come to you in thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to you and believe you forever. But before he can come to them, in order for God to draw near to the people, it becomes clear that people must prepare themselves. So look at verse 10 and following. The people were to take 2 days to prepare themselves to meet with the Lord. He's going to enter into covenant with them, and they with him. And they need to take this time to prepare for that, to receive the word of the Lord, 2 days to receive his law and prepare for that. And the third day, the Lord said, I will come down upon Mount Sinai. So they have to consecrate themselves, set themselves apart, wash their clothes. Why all of this? Why all of this consecration and ceremony? Well, simply because God is holy. And to those who approach him, he shows himself as holy. Boy, how we will see that in a moment. And so verses 12 to 13, boundaries are to be set around the mountain. The people couldn't go up the mountain. They couldn't even touch the mountain, could they? Not even a beast could touch the mountain. They have to maintain control of the little kids, of the beasts, because if anything, anyone touches the mountain, they are to be put to death. They're to be stoned or shot with an arrow because you can't even touch somebody who's touched the mountain. Or they too would become defiled. Such is the holiness of God. He's a holy God, and to those who approach him, he will show himself as holy. So now again, Moses comes down the mountain, verses 14 and 15, sanctifies the people, tells them to be ready, to get themselves ready, to set themselves apart, to wash their clothes, to keep themselves from their wives, be prepared over these next 2 days to meet with the Lord and to enter into covenant with him and to receive his commandments. He is holy, and to those who approach him, he will show himself as holy. Well, then God does what he says he would do, verse 16 and following. On the third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. Imagine some of those images of the worst storms you've seen. Storms at sea or some of these tornadoes, storms out west. And then magnify that exponentially. This is what they're seeing now coming down near them on Mount Sinai. And it's terrifying. And there's the sound of this trumpet blasting. And the people, some of them still hiding in their tents, are trembling. So holy was the sight. But then in accordance with God's word, Moses brings these trembling people out of their camp, out of their tents, to meet with God. And there they stood, just about ready to faint, standing there at the foot of the mountain, at Mount Sinai, trembling, fearful. We learn in the book of Hebrews that even Moses himself was exceedingly afraid and trembling. He'd met God before, but here's a further revelation of the holiness of God, and they are undone. The people are undone. And here is why, verse 18 and 19. Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like a furnace. This is not just a bush on fire, but it's the whole mountain now. God is a consuming fire. And the whole mountain was on fire and it quaked. And his presence, there's this blast of a trumpet, and it sounded louder and louder and longer. And finally, God speaks in verse 20. Out of the midst of that terrifying scene, God summons Moses up the mountain again. He says, come up the mountain. And it's striking, isn't it? The reason that God commands Moses, quickly, come up the mountain, is so that he can tell him to go back down the mountain again. He calls Moses up the mountain for that simple reason, to go back down and to warn the people. God says, get back down and warn the people that they must not break through. Warn them that they must not go beyond the boundary. Warn them that they must not even gaze upon the Lord, or they will die. They will perish. Even the priests who've drawn near to me need to be warned. Stay away. Moses pleads in verse 23 that, well, God, the boundaries have been set in place. The warning's already been given. And God says to him in verse 24, away, get down. The warning needs to be given again. And so Moses goes, verse 25. God is a holy God, and to those who approach him, he shows himself as holy. Now that's a quick run through of the scene here, and there are all kinds of applications we could draw from this text, because God is just as holy today as he was then. It's the same God. So how have we prepared to meet with him? How have we spent the week? How did we spend last night? What about this morning? What about entering into the presence of God in worship? Did we give any heed to the law when it was read this morning? Or did we just tune it out? Was our response like that of the children of Israel, who trembled even more after the law was given? We could make all these applications from this text, and they're important things to ask. They're good things to ask. But if we end the application there, we'll have missed the point of the whole passage. So what is the main point? Well, simply this. We can never be holy as God is holy. We can never be holy as God is holy. You and I, by the best of our efforts, can never make ourselves holy enough to come into the presence of God, to even touch his mountain. You and I can never make ourselves worthy enough to come into the presence of this holy and just and righteous God. We can never keep God's law perfectly. The labors of our hands can never fulfill his law's demands. Yes, but what if my zeal no respite knows? What if my tears forever flow? Well, the law says nothing about zeal. The law doesn't approve of good intentions. In fact, the law says nothing about tears. It has no interest in repentance. The law says one thing, do. And the law has but one penalty for failing to do, die. And Exodus 19 left every one of the children of Israel undone. It left Moses undone. And it leaves you and me undone as well. If all you have is Moses and the law in Sinai, there's no hope. There's no hope. None at all. If all you have are your own preparations, your own cleanliness, your own holiness, you cannot stand for a moment in the presence of this holy God. You can't even look at him. You can't even look at him. Exodus 19, then, the main point is to drive us away from ourselves and drive us to Jesus. And it's driving us to Jesus relentlessly. It's killing any confidence that we would have had in ourselves. It's telling us in no uncertain terms, put all your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one in whom and by whom you can ever approach this holy, majestic, awesome, righteous God. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, we read that we've come to a mountain, but it's not this mountain. This mountain that was covered in smoke, where there were thunderings and lightnings and the sound of a trumpet and fear and trembling and the threat of death. But that in Jesus, we come to something far better than that. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. And you come to the end of that passage. I'd encourage you to read that section of Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. You come to the end of that section in Hebrews chapter 12, and it leaves you with a great question. We've got these two mountains. Which is it, Mount Sinai or Mount Zion? Are we going to do this by our own effort, our law-keeping, our righteousness, or the gospel? Jesus' works, his righteousness, Moses or Jesus? One author wrote these words on Hebrews 12. He said, "The contrast between the two mounts is absolute. It is the contrast between the law and the gospel, between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. One mountain was dark and stormy. The other is a city of bright and shining joy. One mountain was a place of fear and danger. The other is a place of peace and safety. On one mountain, the angels blazed with fire and blasted away with noise. On the other, they form a welcoming party for a celebration. On one mountain was designed to keep people away. The other was designed to draw them close. And what makes the difference?" he asks. The difference does not lie in God himself. That is, he is present on both mountains, and even on Mount Zion, he sits in judgment. And he goes on to say, "You have come to God, the judge of all men. The difference is that when we come to Mount Zion, we are on the right side of justice." When we come to Mount Zion, we are on the right side of justice. And there is only one way to be on the right side of justice, and that is through the blood of Jesus, the blood that speaks better things. So where is your confidence this evening? Where is your hope? Where is your peace? Where is your safety? Where is your comfort in life and in death? Is it the labor of your hands? Or is it the blood that speaks better things? The first half of the book of Exodus focuses our attention on the covenant mediator, his birth, his calling, his life, his work. The second half of the book of Exodus focuses on the covenant itself, and especially upon the ratification of that covenant and the place of the ratification of that covenant, Mount Sinai. And now, with that pattern in mind, think of the Gospels and the pattern of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have that same thing, don't we? That same pattern. The first half of each of one of those Gospels focusing our attention upon the covenant mediator, the mediator of the new covenant, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his ministry, his words, his deeds. And then the second half of each of those gospel records focuses on the covenant itself, on the ratification of that covenant, and especially on the place where that covenant was ratified, on the Mount, Mount Calvary. And you see, to really understand Calvary, you need to understand Sinai. And there's this beautiful picture being given to us here in Exodus 19. Now, it's going to be given much more clearly in the chapters ahead. But we have it hinted at here already in chapter 19. There are these three sections to Mount Sinai. There's the base of the mountain with the people gathered there, trembling in fear. There's that middle section where the priests could go. And then finally, the top of the mountain where only Moses and Aaron could go, into the cloud, into the thick cloud of God's glorious presence. There's a pattern there, isn't there? You can see something of that, don't you? And what we see there on that vertical level on the mountain, God will make clear to his people on a horizontal level very soon. As I said, we'll come to this section soon. Because there on the top of the mount, with this division enacted, God will give to Moses the plans for the tabernacle. And what do you find in the tabernacle but these three sections? Once again, the outer court where the people could gather, the holy place where the priests could go and minister, and then the holy of holies where only the high priest could go once a year into the glorious presence of God, into the glory cloud. And now you take all of that imagery that you see at Mount Sinai, and what you see then enacted in the tabernacle, the instructions that will soon be given to Moses. You take all of that imagery, those types and those symbols and those shadows, and you bring it to the gospel. And you see the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come down the mount and tabernacled with us. And as you read the book of Hebrews, what has Jesus done? He's brought us from the outer court into the holy place, and from the holy place into the Holy of Holies. If we're to put it in the imagery here of Exodus 19, on that vertical level of the mountain, and Jesus, you move beyond the base of the mountain, beyond the middle of the mountain, all the way to the top of the mountain. The glorious cloud of God's presence. That's where Jesus brings you. Through his works, that's where Jesus brings you, sinner though you are, lawbreaker though you are. His blood speaks better things, cleanses of your sin, clothes you in his righteousness, makes a way, and brings you before the very throne of God, into the glorious presence of God, to dwell there before him forever. And there's no other way to come to God. There's no other way. This is the only way. And in the gospel, Jesus is saying to you, I have made the way for you. I have made the way for you. The way is open. The way is open into the glorious presence of the living God. And you need not tremble. You need not tremble in fear. You are on the right side of justice. My blood speaks better things, and it cleanses you from all your sin. Well, finally, Moses went up and down and up and down at least three times here in Exodus 19. And he was a man, so I suppose he did get tired as he stood as the mediator of the old covenant between God and man to God. After all, he was no spring chicken. But our Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, never, ever, ever grows weary or tired of ministering his grace to you. Jesus is far better. And he says to you in his word and in his sacraments, it is my delight to bring you near. Here, in the presence of a holy and living God, you are welcome. I have made a place for you. So, brothers and sisters, let us come to Mount Zion. And let us come with reverence and with joy and with gladness. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful to him and bless his name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, how thankful we are that our access, our entrance, our fellowship with you is not based on the labors of our hands. For there could be no fellowship, no access, no entrance. We're so thankful that our entrance, our salvation, our assurance is based upon Christ and what he has done for us. Father, forgive us of our sin. Help us now in the newness of life to follow after Christ, to delight in the law, to serve you in faithfulness and obedience. But may we always know it is Jesus and it is his work. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for this section tonight that pictures for us and reminds us of your holiness, that you are a holy God. And we thank you for this, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.